1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's read this and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now we're focusing on this idea of the travail that is coming. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you would bless your word tonight. I thank you, Lord, for it. I thank you, Lord God, for, Lord, 1,189 chapters, 66 books worth of most profound wisdom that mankind has ever seen. We thank you, God, that you were faithful enough, Lord, to send down your word to holy men of God, which spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We thank you, God, that your words have been settled in heaven. We thank you, God, that those words have been preserved and that you've kept them alive and they're still quick and they're still powerful unto this day. And Father, we ask, God, that you would shape our minds and our thoughts, Lord, and the intentions of our heart, God, that you would shape them according to your word. Father, that you would fill us with light. Fill us with knowledge and understanding, Lord, and in due season, in due time, give us wisdom. Lord, it's one thing, God, to try to be visionary about the future and maybe try to shape an image of what we think is going to happen. But your word has all of it written down here. And Father, we just pray, God, that you would fill us with knowledge. Fill us with, Lord, a shade of understanding. And Lord God, when times come along in life that we don't understand, that your word, God, would be in us, Lord, and would give us understanding, would give us wisdom, Lord, to live through the times and the things that we go through. Lord, there may be somebody tonight, God, that is dealing with a travail or a troubling or a sorrowful situation in their life right now. They may be here tonight. They may be sitting at home. They may be listening, Lord, as they go about their ways. And I just pray, God, that you would give them of your word. And Lord, let it be a blessing to them and an encouragement to them. And Father, Lord, prepare us for days that lie ahead. And Father, we don't know, Lord, how much longer you're going to long suffer with this world. We don't know, Lord, the exact time when things of this word will transpire. But Father, Lord, you told us to be wise and understand and know the seasons. So Father, give us understanding, give us that knowledge. Help us, dear God, just as we see, Lord, the cool air coming in and the skies begin to darken a little bit and those leaves begin to turn. Father, we know that fall is upon us. We know that season now is here and summer's past and winter's on its way. God, that we'd be able to see the signs of your coming in just that way. And God, that you would prepare us for that day. Lord, bless your word tonight. Bless it in the hearts of these that have come and those that are here tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, as I said, I'm not going to cover this much, but we're dealing with the idea of travail. Last Sunday night, we kind of made it in a sort of a personal fashion that any type of hard season or hard time that you go through in life, oftentimes God is bringing that about so that he can bring maybe, let's say, a new idea or a new birth or just some sort of new era of your life. I believe that we can look back in our lives and we can see times that God has marked in our history as sort of like a new beginning or a revival season or something like that. We even since we've been saved, I can look back. 9 years old is when I knelt there at the Missouri camp and asked Jesus to come into my heart. But I can also look back from that time and clearly see seasons and times where God brought about a new beginning or sort of like a revival or a new start in my life. Things that God was renewing or things that God was shifting in my life and so on. And I can tell you that most of those times, in fact, if not all of them, were marked by a season of personal travail. Times when I struggled, times when there was sorrow, times when I was suffering, maybe emotionally or physically or spiritually, and did not quite understand what was going on. And yet now I can see that God was birthing something in my life. God was starting something in my life. And I believe, and I made this clear last week, and we're going to get a little bit into that tonight. I believe that the time before you and I meet Jesus in the air, there will be a time of travail, a time of sorrow, a time of trouble, a time of persecution, a time that is not going to be all sunshine and roses, but I promise you that that moment that we are transformed and we meet our Savior, and I was talking about this morning about how we love Jesus as our Lord and as the bridegroom. And just as a bride is awaiting the day when she walks that aisle and is joined to her husband, I think we ought to be looking forward to the day when we're going to meet Jesus in the air. Somebody say amen. Amen. Don't let anything come between you and that day. But I also believe that there is a time that comes before that, that is going to be a difficult time. Now again, this may not fit into the charts. It may not fit into someone's idea of how they were taught, how it's all going to break down. But I say, let's just follow the word of the Lord. Let's just follow the Bible and see what God says. Genesis 3:16, God promised that. Now remember, this morning we talked about how our soul is a woman. And so he said unto the woman. Now think about that. Unto the woman. He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. If you're a feminist, and if you're a woman of this age, you hate that. If you're one of God's people, you love it. Somebody say amen. God, listen, it's not a problem for me to have Jesus rule over me and be the Lord of my life and say, Mike, we're not going to do that. Somebody say amen. I don't have a problem with that. Amen. John chapter 16, a wonderful, wonderful chapter. For those maybe that you're burdened down or you keep sending prayers to God, it doesn't seem like they're being answered. I promise you, God has a season for them. He has a time for them. God is going to birth some good things in your life. He's going to give you better things than you ever desired, but He's going to do it in a season, and there is a time of travail that comes before that. I want you to take your Bible now and turn to Isaiah chapter 53. And I want you to see now, Isaiah 53 was what the Ethiopian eunuch, this is interesting to me. Here's what the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, here's what he was reading in his Bible as he's traveling from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. He's going to worship there. He's going to worship the Lord there according to the feast days. And he's reading Isaiah 53. And when Philip jumps in the car there, he says, understandest what thou readest. He says, how can I except some man teach me? And Philip begins to, from that place there in Isaiah 53, begins to teach him about Jesus. Because the eunuch says, is Isaiah speaking of himself or of some other? And he's reading from Isaiah 53, that beautiful prophecy of Christ on the cross. And I want you to think about this. Here is that eunuch, and he is about to have a new birth experience. He's about to go through being born again. And here he is reading Isaiah 53. And I want you to look at what it says. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall, watch this, verse 11. He shall see the what? Travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Now God, here's God looking at Christ. God is looking at Christ. He's looking at him on the cross. The Bible says it pleased God to bruise him. God is looking at Christ in his suffering. He is seeing the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. What that means is, what I think it means is, God is looking at the substitutionary death of Christ on the cross, knowing that the blood of bulls and goats cannot everlastingly atone for the sins of mankind. So he looks at Christ, sees the atonement, sees the suffering, sees his death on the cross, and now the just demands of God are now satisfied. The judge can say, I accept that. It's over and done with. your sins are forgiven, and they will not be imputed to you ever again. Somebody say amen. Boy, I like that. God not looking at your suffering. He's looking at Christ saying, I'm now satisfied that the demands of the law have been met. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Remember what? I think that was Luke who quoted that. He was, and up there with three crosses, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. We learned that here a while back. Up there with three crosses. And I think, again, I think it was Luke who was saying, you know, it fulfilled scripture. He was numbered with the transgressors. Did you know that portion is omitted and missing out of the new modern translation? They took out where Jesus was fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 53 being numbered with the transgressors. They edited that out. They said, probably should not have been in the scriptures, and we're going to take it out. I was watching, I got this on my mind, I was watching a video, Ian, about the DNA editing, the lady that invented the process. Yeah, Doudna, the lady with DNA in her last name. D-O-U-D-N-A is how you spell her last name. I'm going, how weird is that? Okay. But anyway, she invented this process and was talking about its benefits, its great benefits, how it's going to cure diseases, how it's going to fix this, how it's going to do this. And oh yes, I'm sure that it could be abused. And so we need to initiate a conversation on, listen, a conversation is not going to stop North Korea and the Arab states and Russia and China and whoever else wants to get in on this. It's not going to stop them from creating monsters. And that's what they're going to do. Amen? Boy, I could run with that. You can go to Leviticus 26, you can go to Deuteronomy 28, and you can see very clearly that God's judgment is going to be beasts, pestilences, the like of which has never been seen. They're going to have the ability in a laboratory to create a disease or a virus of some kind that no human on earth has ever seen in history. It's never been created. They're going to have the ability to make people die of things that no one has ever died of before. This is the world that we live in right now. It's nuts. Amen? Hang on to your Bibles, people. You're going to need them. Okay? But anyway, he shall bear their iniquities. He was numbered with the that's what got me thinking about it. They took that part out of the Bible because they didn't think it belonged there. And so here's all the genetic scientists looking at everybody's DNA saying, well, that's a poor translation. That really shouldn't be in there. So we're going to take that out. We're going to inject something else in its place. We're going to replace it. That's nuts to me. Somebody say amen. Okay. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Let's get some understanding here, because, and I'm going to keep saying this, I really believe. Now, number one, I believe in the rapture, the translation, being caught up, our transformation, our change. I believe in it with all my heart. I believe the trump's going to sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I believe it's the glorious appearing, the great hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe He's going to appear in the clouds. I believe the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I believe that is going to happen. But I absolutely believe that there is going to be a time of travail beforehand. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Let's see what the Bible says. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, we who are believers in Jesus Christ, who have the seal of the Holy Spirit in us, we are already categorized as the sons of God. Okay? Now, I want you to think about this. Okay? I'm looking at Roland over here. That's Roland, right? Okay? I'm looking at the back. Okay? when Courtney had Roland in her womb, was he not then her son? Sure he was. Okay? But it wasn't manifested what he should be yet. He wasn't born. He didn't have the birth. We couldn't see him. Didn't know what kind of personality he was going to have. Didn't know how cute he was going to be. Okay? Didn't know the little chubby cheeks that he's got. He was her son. Yeah. He was her son, but it was not manifested yet how he was going to be. We didn't even have a name yet, but he was her son. When he's born, now it's manifested. Now the world rejoices. Everybody's happy now. It's a boy. Well, we already knew that. The ultrasound showed that. But look how chubby he is. Look at his cheeks. Okay? Look at that cute hair he's got up here. My. Look at that smile. Boy, look at him. Look at them fists. Boy, he's going to be a ball player. You know, we say that about every child that's born. He's going to be a ball player. Look at them fists going. Okay? So now he's manifested. But before that happened, she went through travail. She travailed in birth. Went through the sorrow, but now the child is born, and now there's joy because of that. So let's go back and read that again. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Right now, we are called the sons of God, but it's like what's in us is not been born yet. It's not come to realization. We're not dead yet. We're not in heaven with Jesus for all of eternity. We're not there yet. But we are given the title of the sons of God. But the manifestation has not been taking place yet. So verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. You know what that means? That means you are going to walk out one morning with full anticipation of being to work on time and your car will not start. Or halfway to Harrison, Arkansas. Amen? Okay? And things will go wrong. Things will go bad. Stuff will break. Stuff will fall. All kinds of things happen in this world, and everything in this world is vanity. This is why they have to sell you a bottle of new car smell. Which doesn't smell like a new car. They haven't got it yet. Because we like to get the new car. We like to smell that new smell. And because we get in there and foul it up. And it don't smell like that way anymore. So we have to have that. Things are vanity in this world. And we are made subject to vanity. We're made subject to things passing away. Things corrupting. Things failing. Things dying. We're made subject to that. But God did not give us a choice in that. It was not willingly. Why? But by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. We are saved. The Bible says we're saved by hope. Hope of something better than what you and I have right now. You have to ask the question, what if I lose everything in this world? What if I lose it all? There are some, probably in this room tonight, that already have. They've been through that, and they can tell you, I've already been there. I've already lost everything in life, and I understand just how quickly things can be taken away. So God, whenever you're ready to take it, take it. One of these days, I will get far better in heaven, in the eternal kingdom, in the new heaven and new earth, than I ever got down here. Okay? So we are subjected in vanity so that we could be subjected in hope. Anybody who preaches or teaches this idea that let's get it all now, let's enjoy everything in life. Listen, and I'm talking about in a church context. I think they're ruining the anticipation of heaven. Okay? Now I'm not saying let's abuse ourselves and throw away all of our stuff and live this ascetic lifestyle where we eat three beans a day and try to live on it. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying deliberately put yourself through suffering in order to show how spiritual you are. There's plenty of that that's going to come your way. We don't have to subject ourselves to suffering. That is going to come. It's going to happen. Why does God do that? So that we'll have hope. Not in anything here, but in a better life, in a better body, a better kingdom, a better country. We're talking about who's going to win the election. Man, I don't know, and I don't know really what kind of difference it's going to make. Okay? I'm just being honest with you. I mean, I'd love for Mike Pence to be in the White House with a Bible. Okay? But I'm telling you, I'm not sure if it'll make much difference as far as the people of this nation are concerned. They're very wicked, and it's getting worse. Anyway, verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty. Notice that he used the word delivered. See that word? Where do we use that word? Birth and babies. When a child is born. The creature, which is us, we're the created being, shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. How many people have we known that died in pain? My dad did. That's hard. That's hard for me to see. He died in considerable pain. Okay? It's worth it. My granddaughter never enjoyed being a baby. Okay? It's worth it. My grandmother, both of them, died. My dad's mom died, cancer, considerable pain. Okay? My mom's mom passed away of Alzheimer's, different kind of pain. It's worth it. I can think of 100 ways that I really don't want to die. Okay? Electrocution's one of them. I've experimented with that, and I'm going, that's not how I want it, God. But if I have to, I will. If I have to, I will. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which had the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. See, we're waiting for something that has not happened yet. And he says the adoption is the redemption of our body. It has taken place on paper. The child is in the womb, but it's not been fulfilled yet. Does everybody understand that? That's what he's talking about. I'm not saying that we're not saved now. We are. But we have not received the fulfillment of what God has in store for us. Obviously. Amen? Obviously that has not happened yet. So we groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Let me go to verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. This really gets into the heart of what Christianity is all about. It is not about doing it whatever we can to attain heaven. It's waiting. Waiting for God to move. Waiting for the Holy Spirit to do this. Waiting for God to say, okay, now we're going to do this. Waiting for the seasons to come. Waiting for the baby to be born. It's all about having patience and waiting and waiting and waiting. And let God do it. Somebody say amen. I had a conversation today. You helped me pray. It just seems like a dear, sweet man that pastors the church that I'm going to next week. Lily Ridge General Baptist Church down in Gainesville, Missouri. And he said, we have done, and I like what he said. He said, Mike, he said, we as a church have done everything on the outside that we can. We've handed out flyers. We've invited people. We've even called and visited and invited other churches to come and be with us. He said, we've done everything on the outside that we possibly can. Now we're going to wait for God to move on the inside. And I like that. So far, I like the spirit that I'm getting from this. I don't know this church. Don't even know what Bible they use. Don't have any knowledge of them whatsoever. I'm assuming they know me. I know one guy does. He said, oh yeah, we've seen your stuff on the internet. And he said, I remember you from, I preached where Ron DeGonia preached for a while, preached a revival. And one of the messages was on the King James deal. Okay. I don't hide that from anybody. But I don't want to just go in just beating everybody over the head with that stuff. I want to know how God's going to lead. And right now, I don't know what to preach first message. I have no idea what I'm going to preach. So you pray for me. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait and let God say what He wants to say. God will work that way. Amen? But the whole idea here is, if you look at this in its context, what we're waiting for is our transformation, the time when Christ is going to appear in the clouds. We're going to meet Him in the air with the dead in Christ first. We're going to be transformed. It's going to take place at the last trump. That much I know. And it is preceded by travail. That's what you just read. It is preceded by suffering, sorrow, hardship, pain, loss, fear. Amen? A little bit of anticipation. Crying out. It's going to precede that day. I'm convinced of it. I don't know where to put it in everybody's little slot, but I just know that that's how it's going to go down. Okay? And if I'm wrong, because, you know, every now and then a woman will say, man, that was the easiest birth I've ever had, ever seen. Okay? Didn't know it could be so. Every now and then that happens. Amen? Praise the Lord. Bring it on. Because I don't like pain. Amen? My motto is no pain, no pain. But arm yourself with this mindset that he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. And if you give me an option of me continuing in sin or me suffering in the flesh, I'll choose the suffering. Okay, that's how you know your heart right with God. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. The travail precedes the birth. Think about it. By the way, let me give you this. There's two sides to it. Okay? Who's got a dollar bill? Who's got a dollar bill handy? You got a dollar bill? Anybody got a dollar bill? Got one handy? All right, good deal. Man, I really appreciate that. Now, turn in your Bible to... Yeah, I know you will. You know what this is? First one he ever made. Finally pulled it out, let it out of his wallet. Okay? Right here is a great pyramid. Okay? Not known for its Christian value. Okay? A God with only one eye sits at the top of it. Again, not known for its Christian symbolism. Okay? Secret words here. Anuit coeptus, novus ordo seclorum. He favors the birth of a new world order. Again, not something I read in my Bible that's like about the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This is about the rise of a different kingdom. The fourth one. See, on the pyramid, there's four sides here. Okay, fourth kingdom. The birth of a new world order refers to the kingdom of the Antichrist. Okay, now I want you to think Bible here. A child is born, is preceded by water, travail in water. Okay, that water happens to be salt water, ocean. Where does the beast in Revelation 13 rise from? The sea. And God reminded Job that he shut up the waters of the earth as if they had come out of a womb. Okay? The earth itself is a woman. You clearly see that all. You see it in Genesis 4, especially. The earth opened her mouth to receive Abel's blood. She's Mystery Babylon. She's bloodthirsty. Thank you, Brother Sterling. Okay? There is a time of travail coming, and two children are going to be born. One's good, and one's bad. And they're going to fight. And the good one is going to win.
Amen?
Because he's on a white horse. He's got a name written on his thigh that says the Word of God. Somebody sent me something neat about that this week, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, I know what he said. He said, Mike, I don't know if you know this. He said, on Jesus' thigh where it says the Word of God, he said, I got to looking at that, and he said, there's seven muscles in your thigh. Okay, and I'm going, okay, I'm onto that. That's pretty cool. Okay? So I told him I'd write that down, check it out, and I got it saved in my head. There's something else he sent with it, and I can't remember what it was. But anyway, I know what it was. Remember when Abraham's servant, Eliezer, Abraham was going to send Eliezer to go out and find him a wife for Isaac? He said, I want you to swear me an oath. And what did he do? He said, give me your hand. And he put it under his thigh. He's swearing on the Bible. Amen. He's swearing on the Word of God. This is why we're going to do it. Listen, that Bible's rich. Amen. And I like this stuff that other people send me that I didn't come up with. I like it because that means that somebody else is as nuts as I am and just thinks Bible and thinks maybe there's more in here than we learned in Sunday school. Amen. So I like that kind of stuff. You guys keep sending that stuff. But anyway, two children born. Think Bible. Think Rebecca. Isaac and Rebecca. How many sons did they have? What did one of them look and feel like? A beast. And he was called Edom because what color was he? Red. Red is sin. Though your sins be as... Okay? Think about that. And God hated Esau, but he loved Jacob. And he decided that before they ever came out of the womb. God, that was his predetermination. Those two children represented last day's kingdoms. One good, one bad. Okay? One is of this world because Esau traded his eternal inheritance for the pleasures of this world. A bowl of beans. Okay? Here in this story here, let's read it. Abraham also had two sons. One of them received the promise. One of them didn't. Okay, why? Galatians 4:22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. That means it's typology. He's going to teach you something. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. This is why the Hebrew roots people hate Galatians, and they hate the King James Bible, and they hate Paul. Because Paul said, oh, you want to go back and keep the law? Well, you're in bondage. Now, you're born again, all right. You're born again of Mount Sinai. Because they refer to the new covenant as the renewed covenant. They're saying, let's go back to Mount Sinai, and that way we can really please God. But then verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Now here's your homework assignment. You're going to study Isaiah 54 in relation to, now I'm going to tie it together. You're going to study Isaiah 54 in relation to Genesis 7. Okay? Because there's a connection there, and it says it right in the text. Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that what? Travailest not. For the desolate hath more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. And I want you to think about this. Here's Sarah, 90 years old, wanted to have a baby, could not have one. So she gives, now she wasn't 90 at this time, but she gives Hagar, her servant, her Egyptian servant, to Abram back then. Abram, And she has a baby. It's easy. He goes into her one time, she has a baby. That's easy. And we see later that Hagar and Ishmael were bringing persecution upon Sarah, bringing a reproach on her because she had not travailed to bring birth. Sarah hadn't had a baby. And so, watch this now. This is how it always works. Those who have always boast over those who have not. Those who do always boast over against those who do not. Amen? So where does that leave us? We have not and we do not. We cannot. And those who live, quote unquote, by the law, they always boast against those who don't. Those who, oh, I've got a clean life. I don't do these things anymore. They always boast about somebody else who does things. But the truth of it is, they're lying about what they don't do. Okay? And that's how it always works. And here's the blessing of Isaiah 54. The blessing is the barren that beareth not, and break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. In other words, you haven't had the experience of travail. Guess what? You're fixing to break forth and cry, which means you're going to have the travail. Okay? You're going to have the pain associated with birth. It's going to happen. Verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. And I can tell you, there was a group years ago when we had a school here. We had several families from, I won't say which one it was, but it was a charismatic, one of these word faith, name it, claim it churches that was drunk in the Spirit. We had several families from this one church bringing their children over here. And boy, I took them because we needed the money. And they were constantly boasting over me, especially over what they did and what gifts they had, as opposed to me being this little Baptist minister who was dead in the Spirit and didn't have any of this stuff. So they invited me, Ryan, they invited me to go see Rodney Howard Brown, Holy Ghost bartender. And I said, well, I don't know. They said, we've had several of you Baptist ministers come, and they've been transformed by this man. And I'm just going, dirty traitors, bunch of sellouts. No, I didn't go. But see, and I always got this from them. They were always boasting over what they did in their church services as opposed to what we don't do. Like, oh, we've got the Holy Ghost, and all you Baptist guys, you don't have anything like we have. And I'm telling you, I don't care what form it comes in, whether it's the charismatic, whether it's the Jewish Hebrew roots, whether it's the Roman Catholic or whatever it is, or fundamentalism, where people boast and brag about how clean they are and how they don't watch this on TV anymore and how long their dresses are and everything like that. There's always a boast of those who perform and think that that is pleasing God over those who don't. Always. And there's always persecution over it as well. And to this day, those who do always persecute those who can't. Always. And it was then, and it's the same way now. Okay? So, just like Hannah and Peninnah. Remember those two women? Remember what we learned this morning. The church is a woman. Hannah was always being persecuted by Peninnah. Peninnah, who was always having babies, was boasting against Hannah, who could not. What fault was it of Hannah that she could not have a child? Was it because her husband didn't love her? He loved her more than he loved Peninnah. What problem was it of hers? It wasn't. It was so that the power of God would be shown forth in that woman's life. The woman who couldn't, God did. You write that down somewhere as something for you personally to think about. You are the woman who could not. God is the one who did. And if you go back and look at these, go find all these women in the Bible that couldn't have a baby. More often than not, you'll see, and the Lord gave her conception. Okay? Now, I don't believe that God did what he did with the Virgin Mary, like with the Holy Ghost deal. I don't believe that. But the Lord is the one who gave that child to those women. Okay? Wasn't anything that they did. You think about that, ponder that. Okay? That's a good motto. I ought to write that or make a bumper sticker out of that. Okay? As you stand to your feet.